when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
My precious Blood River Radio family out there, and I'd like to put a big welcome out there for people, new people coming in. I'll just go back to the first hour and just say happy JFK Assassination Day. And other people may be canceling out Thanksgiving, but we're not going to cancel out here on Blood River Radio. Will explained on the first hour, he's going to finish up why. The men that wear the tiny little hats hate Thanksgiving. They hate anything that goes back to our people, something our people could take pride in, our ancestors, to take pride in being white, in our racial, the things we have accomplished in our history. But anyway, I also like to just welcome Paul on, as promised. It's been a while and a really wild day today. Got back from the VA. I got in here just in time, almost to cut the computer on, and so been a little bit disorganized. But we had the Will Meister in and the Jay Meister, so we knew everything's going to be great. Now we got the Paul Meister coming in, but Paul, I'd like to welcome you on, brother. Will's going to finish up. Will's going to be with us about he can be about 15 minutes with us. He has to go with his family. Him and his family are on vacation, but he's carved out 15 minutes of his day to be with us on the second hour. He'll finish that up, Paul. And then we'll go right to you, brother. So how are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing fine, Eddie, and I'm really glad you're out of the hospital and in good shape. We really need you. We need your leadership and your voice.
Well, I certainly appreciate Amen. That. And I'll tell our people right quick like what happened. I have regular scheduled work. Because I know our family, we get text messages, emails all the time, and they treat us like family. I think they're family. Here's what happened. I have regular scheduled lab work for next week because I'm on some medications, and one of the medications, I know some of our nurse people will know, it's called spironolactone. It's a potassium-sparing diuretic, and it can drive your sodium too low. If you get your sodium below a certain point, it's fatal. It can kill you. One thing it can do is it causes internal swelling in your brain. It's called increased intracranial pressure. I know Sister Adams will know that, Sister Pam Adams. But anyway, I started getting dizzy and kind of off balance and stuff like that, probably from running too much, probably getting low hypoglycemia today. But I didn't take any chances. I did what Dr. Cushman told me to do. At the first sign like that, you go down there and get checked. Come to find out I checked out fine. But they weren't satisfied with that, folks. They had to do a CT of my head to make sure there was no brain bleed. They had to do an X-ray of my heart to make sure, and do cardiac enzymes, all kinds of blood work. It's just incredible what they did. I kept saying, "Hey, I just came down here for damn blood work." Anyway, that's where I was. Our people and I made it back just in time to fire the mic up. And I know our people ask me questions about that all the time, but I'm fine. I'm great. I really am. I'm thank God. And I tell you what. And I don't discredit it. It's the prayers I get from people like the Jay Meister and Miss Lizzie and Will and all the people that pray for me. That's who really heals you. And in fact, I'm good to go right now. And with that, I'm going to shut my mouth, go back to Will. Will's going to finish up what he started, which is very, very, very important about how Thanksgiving got canceled. And we'll go right back to Paul. So go ahead, Will.
Yeah, before I finish up, Eddie, I was going to make a joke and say, after all of that diagnostic testing to make sure you didn't have a brain bleed. You jump on Blood River Radio, and we immediately start talking about the United States building a military base in Israel, and there you go. Probably got a brain bleed just from that, right?
I thought it was going to happen. That is, and I apologize to our people. I'm sorry I got so carried away. But that, I just got to tell you how bad that upsets me, and you know why I told you about what you see at the VA, and our young people are going to be slaughtered like pigs. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'll finish up my thought. I mean, it's great being on with you, Paul. It's always an honor to be sitting here with you, so that's a great thing. But as we're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving here, and at least some of us, I guess, still celebrate Thanksgiving in the United States, we were talking about the Reverend John Cotton, who was a Puritan minister and kind of the voice of the pilgrims that came here. And he is credited with the farewell sermon that launched the boats that came here. And he had regular correspondence. So a lot of his writings, a lot of his words are well recorded in history. And one of the things that Cotton talked about, as we were talking about before the break, was they were freeing themselves from the influence of the state church there in mainland Europe, and specifically they pointed the fingers at the Jewish co-opting and influence of the Protestant church, and they pointed back to Martin Luther and a lot of his writings towards that Jewish influence, and they looked upon North America, they looked upon this new land as the new Jerusalem, and they referred to themselves as the Israelites, and the source text that John Cotton used was from the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Amos 9:15 was the source text. And I just want to read that as we're going into this week, Eddie, of Thanksgiving celebrations in the United States. And I want to read it directly to our people. I want to read it to the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred people, Christendom. And not just for the people here in the United States, but anyone that hears the sound of my voice across this world. And that source text out of Amos is, God said, I will plant them on their land, and they will not be uprooted again from their land which I have given them. So says the Lord your God. This is our land. Canada is for the Canadians. It is, the America is for Americans. And you go through Christendom and you look at these nations that have been carved out, not by Libyan or Syrian refugees or people from Tunisia or Uganda or wherever it is they're coming from. These lands were given to us for our people. We carved out the civilization. We are the only race of people, Eddie, and I hate to be a broken record, but there is not a continent on the face of Earth that we haven't conquered, including Antarctica. We have taken spaces that are uninhabitable for any other human being, and we've made them so that we can be there. God Almighty has blessed us in the past, and we have turned our back on those blessings. We have allowed in this racial impurity to come in, and we are experiencing the curses, people, of what a once great, powerful people, a nation of people. We should go back to the idea of those Puritans that sailed here to be free of those influence, those Antichrist influence. And as we are going into the week of Thanksgiving, I say that we look to the book of Amos there in chapter 9, and we say this is our land that God gave us, and we will not be uprooted. We will uproot those weeds that have been sown in to choke us out, and we will throw them in the ash heaps of history and let them burn and be scattered into the wind. This is our land that God has promised us, and we will not give it up. And that is my prayer for our people as we go into Thanksgiving. And, Eddie, I just want to say we need to return back to a nation that is on its knees, that are truly thankful to God and his blessings. And I think we will see a reprieve of our sinful nature, of these curses that have been brought upon us. But don't look at Thanksgiving as turkey and football. Look at it as a holiday. A day as a festival for our people, Eddie, because it is a truly Christian holiday that honors or did honor a very thankful people that made it to the shores of North America, escaping the religious influence of wicked Antichrist men, and they came here to fulfill God's prophecy. We should not forget that. This land is our land, and it has been since the first white foot set foot on its landmass.
And, you know, that's so well spoken, Will and Paul. You know, it's our people let us slide away. We did, like you said, we turned our back on God. It's so evident, but we can get it back, and we do. The first thing we have to do, we have to get our people at least a percentage. It doesn't have to be all of them, but we have to get a percentage of people to go back to God, ask God to bless us, and then we have to take our land back. We have to take these United States back, and we have to do what it takes. I'm saying, there is no limit that I won't go. No limit we should shrink back from. If it takes riding to the sound of the gunfire, bayonet and bullet, so be it. With that, folks, we're going to come right back. Amen. We're going to go with the one and only Paul Fromm and get his take on what Will just said. Be right back, folks.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Here's Blood River Radio. Without family, Blood River Radio family, without further ado, we're going to go back to my brother, the one and only Paul Fromm. God bless you, Paul. So glad to have you today. And we thought Paul might have. Yeah, thank you, Paul. Paul, and I'd like to thank Paul. He's such a busy man. I had to call him and tell him I was kind of in a sling. My butt was kind of in a sling, and I thought he might have to come in first hour, even though I don't think he was really free. He was going to ditch what he was doing to come in for Blood River Radio, and I'd like to thank him over the air for that. Thank you so much. By the grace of God, I was able to get not to be too theatric about it, but by the grace of God, yeah, I made it back in time. But anyway, I'm glad to have you, Paul, here, Paul, and I know our other family members, our brothers and sisters, are glad to have you here. So go ahead, if you will, brother, if you want to respond to what Will said, and we got a lot of stuff to cover. But go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, something that Pastor Rob has said many, many times in his preaching and presentations is that the original 13 colonies required you to be a white man of good moral, a white Christian man of good moral character in order to be a citizen. It was not come one, come all. It was a white man of good moral character. And those who talk about the United States being a melting pot, and that's all a later invention. And it was the same with Canada. Our founding settler people were English, French, Scots, Irish, and then a little later on with assists from the Icelanders, Germans, and other Europeans. We were never a multiracial, multicultural country. In fact, the man on the back of the $100 Canadian bill is Sir Robert Borden. He was our prime minister during the First World War. And in the election of 1917, he said casually, Canada is a white man's country. And the interesting thing about that remark is there was no reaction because everybody, right, left, or center, agreed, yeah, it's a white man's country. So we have been subject in both Canada and the United States to a revolution and a tearing away of our own understanding of history and our own pride. I mean, there's been a never-ending attack on our history and our traditions, mostly by Jews, not entirely, but mostly, so portraying us as slave owners, horrible people, despoiling the Indians, raping the environment, and all the rest of it, and holocausting the Jews, even though Canada and the United States had nothing to do with what was going on in Europe in the 1940s. Leading younger people to believe that actually no good ever came out of the Europeans who built this country, or built both our countries. And this is where we have to recover, and that's why I was really appreciating the comments about Thanksgiving. And I'm not surprised. That's another they will not allow us to have anything. Up here in Canada, there were even forces trying to prevent the kids from having Halloween. Or at the schools, they were being told, you've got to be sensitive about the costumes on the effect it might have, if you stereotype a group. The thing about Halloween, like Mardi Gras, is it's the one time you can assume, do things that would normally not be acceptable, like dress up like a witch or dress up like a ghost or whatever. That would be considered weird behavior on any other day of the year. But there's a certain license. But there are forces up here, and I'm sure in the United States too, that want to steal even that from the kids. I am surprised they're trying to steal your Thanksgiving. We already have ours. Ours is the second Monday of October, whereas I think yours is the fourth Thursday of November. But it's really important to remember the religious significance of Halloween, of Thanksgiving, as you were mentioning.
Yes, thank you. You did that well, Paul. just like Will mentioned, Will knew some things I didn't know. And I'm not surprised with the school system being like it is, even though I went to school many years ago. Franklin School, that I know good and well, that Paul knows what I'm talking about. The Franklin School had already come over here and done their good work probably in the 30s, starting in the 30s and spread into the American school system probably in the 40s and 50s. And the reason they hate Thanksgiving so much is just like Paul said and like Will said, a handful of white people, just a handful, came across that Atlantic Ocean. People, I was just going to try to make an analogy here. I used to fish when I was a kid at a place called Saurus Lake. It's probably as a crow flies about 70 miles south of my house, 60 miles. It has the largest earthen dam in the world. A dam made just out of dirt. I don't know if that's true, but maybe the people in Mississippi are proud about that. Maybe they just kind of fudged the statistics a little bit. But the point is, it's supposed to be 34 miles in high water. It's probably about 2 miles across, maybe 2.5 is this widest point. It's a huge lake. And when the wind gets up, and you're in a little 14-foot flat bottom crappie boat we used to have, it gets pretty scary out there. And then people, that's a lake 34 miles long at the highest water mark, and low water it's probably 10 miles. But can you imagine coming across, and this was an aluminum boat, a modern aluminum metal boat. Imagine coming across the Atlantic Ocean in the 1600s in a wooden boat. And with no power whatsoever, no modern water facilities, no really modern navigational equipment, no engines, no power, auxiliary power. Imagine the guts, the faith it would take, the internal, what they call it, guts, the faith you would have to have in God, just the resolution, yeah, the resilience to kind of come across this country, and a handful of people, and we supposedly stole the country from the Indians. It was a struggle. So could you imagine living in the eastern United States where winters were just bitter cold? And they did that. And like Will said, I knew they came over. We've told Paul for the Mayflower Flower Compact, if I remember, it says something like they did it for the greater glory of God, of Jesus Christ. And this country was started by white people, and it was started by white people for God, for Jesus Christ. And that's why these damn Jews hate it so much. That's why these our own self-hating race traitors despise it so much, because the Jews and our self-hating race traitors hate themselves so much. They're full of so much guilt. They cannot possibly accept the fact, our race traitors, they cannot accept the fact their own ancestors could have done something this wonderful. The Jews know it, but they hate us. They just hate us so much. They're going to, since they control the media, and the print media, the electronic media, they control it, and they have from the get-go. And I'll admit, with the internet, they're losing a lot of their grip. But that's why they hate Thanksgiving so much. And I'll stop with this right here. I have not seen one single grocery store here in Shelby County, Tennessee, Paul, with one single advertisement of Thanksgiving. Used to, Thanksgiving was huge. You never even heard. Christmas was never even mentioned. Traditionally, and here where I live, they would put up the big Christmas trees would go up in the local shopping centers and the malls the day after Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving was gigantic. We would take it as a big holiday. Like to say, the stores would be running advertisements: buy your turkeys early, get your cranberry. It was turkeys, turkey and dressing, cranberry sauce, the traditional stuff, meals. Not one word. I haven't heard one advertisement on the radio, the television, the newspaper, nothing about Thanksgiving. And it's so sad, Paul. It really is, brother.
Yeah. Well, they want to deep six our traditions. Back before the end of communism in Russia, there was a nationalist group that was formed called Pamiat. And Pamiat is Russian for memory. And they wanted to revive knowledge of the history of Russia. The communists, of course, wanted to sweep everything prior to the revolution of 1917. It was all, monarchy and evil and capitalism and blah, blah, blah. And good things only began to happen when the communists took over. Well, that, of course, was not a true account of the Russian people. And Pamiat wanted to recount the history of Russia and the traditions and the folk legends, etc. But I always thought that idea was very important. Memory. If you don't have memory as an individual, if you have no knowledge of your family, you're a very incomplete individual. And a healthy family has its family stories, the comical things grandpa or great grandpa did, or the heroic things somebody else did.
Well, hear the music, Paul. But before we come back, we'll just exactly what you said. I'll tell you somebody who knew memory was very important, and that was Karl Marx. We'll hit that point as soon as we come back to this break, folks. Be right, people. You got about a really short break, about 2 minutes. So don't be late getting back. Be right back, folks.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. There has been an abduction of hundreds of children in Nigeria. Correspondent Donna Warder reports.
More than 300 children, boys and girls, ages 10 to 18, have been abducted by gunmen in Nigeria. The Christian Association of Nigeria says the kidnapping happened during an attack on a Catholic school in the north-central part of the country. Earlier, it was thought that a little more than 200 school children were taken. The kidnapping in Niger State happened 4 days after 25 school children were seized in neighboring Kebbi State. No group has claimed responsibility for the abductions, and authorities say tactical squads have been deployed alongside local hunters to rescue the children. I'm Donna Water.
Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, a once loyal supporter of President Trump, has become a critic, announcing she is resigning from Congress in January. Greene, in a more than 10-minute video posted online yesterday, explained her decision and said she didn't want her congressional district to have to endure a hurtful and hateful primary against her by the president we all fought for. Greene's resignation followed a public fallout with the president in recent months as the congresswoman criticized him for his stance on files related to Jeffrey Epstein, along with foreign policy and health care. E.J. Antoni, chief economist at the Heritage Foundation, says the president's economic policies are undoing the damage of the Biden years.
You had all of this job growth, but it was in government or it was going to foreign-born workers, not actually native-born Americans getting employed. And today it's exactly the opposite.
Ukraine's Western allies have rallied around the country as they push to revise a U.S. peace plan seen as favoring Moscow. President Zelensky has vowed Ukrainians that he will always defend their home. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In today's fast-paced world, professionals face endless projects, deadlines, competition. To thrive, you need mental clarity, sharp focus, and reliable memory. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor created ThinkFactor. ThinkFactor is designed to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that supercharges your memory and sharpens your focus. You can stay on top of your work and outshine the competition. After a couple of weeks of taking ThinkFactor, I noticed a dramatic difference in my clarity, my focus, even my memory. And you know what? The longer you take ThinkFactor, the better the results are. If you've ever felt mentally foggy or struggled to keep up with everything on your plate, well, ThinkFactor can help you reclaim your cognitive edge and thrive in your life. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, to order ThinkFactor. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com. Your first bottle, just $19.95. ThinkFactor. Think clearer, perform better daily.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I love that soundbite so much. That soundbite was from Cool Hand Luke. That was the prison guard, the Cool Hand Luke. Luke was Paul Newman. We had John Kennedy, the big Kennedy guy. He played one of the really tough prisoners there. But anyway, that's right. You know what? Some men you just cannot reach, and we're one of them. We're not going to be co-opted. We're not going to be corrupted, not me and Paul. Anyway, Paul, I bet Paul knows a thing or two. We were talking about memory, and I noticed George Orwell talked about how our people who rule over us want to flush our history down. He called it, he entitled it the memory hole, the memory hole. And I think, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Karl Marx had a thing or two to say about memory in young people. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, he mentioned it was important to either trash the young people's history or keep them ignorant of it, because they'd be easier to control. You know, somebody who is just a floating, you know, feather in the wind is much easier to control than somebody who has a background and backup. He knows who he is. You know, he knows his family, he knows family history, and a lot of pride in that, or pride in his hometown, pride in, or preferably in his country and his race. If you can steal that from people, they have nothing but themselves. They don't feel part of something. They don't feel that there's a support there, as there would be from family or from your people. If you feel all your people and ancestors were garbage, you're alone, and you know, a lone person is a lot easier to control.
No doubt, and it's proven that way over and over and over. Paul, I'd like to shift gears just a second. I was moving my microphone. We talked about, you and I, Paul, during the break, about this great article, excellent article by Paul Craig Roberts. People, we talked about the sellouts that Trump has done earlier, about we're going to have a military base. I don't know if Paul heard about this. We're going to have a military base put up, United States military base in Israel, and I think Will said that we're going to have upwards of 25,000 soldiers, boots on the ground, in Israel, to fight and die for Israel. Well, here's another, and then we talked about Mike Huckabee, Paul, meeting with Jonathan Pollard, for God's sake, a convicted spy, and I think he's probably, from what I've heard, probably the most dangerous, most damaging spy that we know of, that we've been told about, in the history of the United States. Maybe second only to the Rosenbergs.
The secrets that Pollard gave Israel probably cost dozens and dozens of lives. He turned over such important information. He did serve a considerable time in prison, but his name should be absolutely cursed forever. And Mike Huckabee may be a good man in some ways, but he has become just a pathetic shill. It's sickening.
If he has any good points, I've yet to find them. But anyway, moving right and linking the dots, connecting the dots. Here's another one. Why are Americans being placed under a speech czar? This is an article by Paul Craig Roberts. Here's what Paul Craig Roberts has to say. President Trump's alliance with Israel is giving us Rabbi Yehuda Kaplan as special envoy to monitor in combat, guess what? To monitor in combat, fill in the blank, anti-Semitism here in the U.S. state, in the USA. The special envoy's job, Paul, is to suppress free speech if it involves criticism of any Israeli policy, including the ongoing genocide of Palestine and its remaining people. Probably it will be considered anti-Semitism to criticize the Trump regime for enabling with money, weapons, and diplomatic protection to enable that genocide with those items. I'm getting ready. I'm going to finish reading this just a second, but I think people need to hear this. By the way, this article is on, you guessed it, it's on AmericanFreedomNews.net. Our wonderful co-host and friend, Don Wassel's news site. It says, a special envoy is said to be needed because of the rising anti-Semitism in America, Paul, provoked by the Israeli genocide of Palestine. The genocide caused Charlie Kirk to break from Israel, and it is this break that likely resulted in Kirk's assassination. Rabbi Kalun dressed it all up as a defense of free speech by him suppressing anti-Semitic speech. He said he's protecting free speech. He said he is going to combat growing anti-Semitism by canceling, not by canceling the First Amendment, but by teaching history, by which he means history concocted by Zionists. And I'll close with this. Is this the history such as the Holocaust? And God's gift, God Almighty himself came down from heaven and he gave the gift of Palestine to the Jews. And it will be a defense to challenge that. So in summary, we're getting a speech czar. We see it in England. People are being thrown into jail in England, Paul, just for putting a piece on Telegram. Or Facebook, etc. Just and yet, at the same time, while somebody's going on being put in jail in England for making an anti-Semitic mark or criticizing a gang rape by Palestinians or by these blacks from out of Africa, that's right. If you criticize that online, if there's a case, I think of a woman in Germany. She went online and she was complaining about her little sister was raped by a gang of these non-whites. She went to jail. Well, Paul, according to this right here, it's coming in Germany. What's happened in England is coming here to the United States. I see it. I know. I knew it was coming, but I really can't internalize it. I'm thinking surely this can't be happening. Are we really being placed under a speech czar? It appears we are, Paul. What do you think about that, brother?
Well, you know, the Republicans have traditionally stood for limited government. If there was ever an example of something that's not the government's role, it's not the government's role to appoint some rabbi who is not obviously not going to be objective to combat anti-Semitism. It's not the government's role to combat one political view or another any more than would be proper for the government to appoint a czar to combat libertarianism. That's just not the role of government. People's political views or historical views should be theirs, not subject to some criticism or approval or disapproval by some appointed official. Now, this is absolutely, utterly wrong. Now, the article doesn't exactly explain what his powers would be, but certainly the powers to denounce and make a lot of noise. The government should not be involved in that at all. It's disappointing that Trump would do that.
You know, I can't imagine myself, the government, a.k.a. Trump, going to all this trouble to create what can be rightfully called, in my opinion, I think Paul Craig Roberts is right. I think it is a speech czar. I really do. And so I can't imagine them putting that in place, Paul, without some type of enforcement mechanism, a.k.a. penalties, courageous jail time. President Trump just recently said, go ahead, Paul.
Depending on how it was done, it would violate the First Amendment, surely. But
no kidding.
in places like Germany, Britain, and Canada, it's a lot easier to squelch speech. But just to appoint a guy like that, it is utterly wrong. The government has no place in trying to direct what people think or feel. And I read something just recently that some Jewish author was bemoaning the fact that even young Jews are getting bored with the Holocaust. There are at least some young Jews who are upset with what's going on, believe it or not, in Gaza. And the Holocaust is ancient history. They've overplayed their hand, I think, and I really think they're losing the sympathy war.
Well, that makes sense, Paul. I hear the music, but that makes sense because that may be why they're having this speech storm, because they are losing. We'll be right back, folks. We'll be right back with a quick break.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, I would like to thank you so much for holding on. You know, Paul said something that gave me a little insight before we leave this topic of the speech song. Perhaps the reason they are putting this, I don't know if it's going to be a cabinet-level position, what the hell it's going to be, but Paul made a point. Zionism, they're losing their grip. I think they really are losing control. I'm almost positive they're losing control of the narrative here in the United States and probably in Canada. Of course, there's strict laws in Canada where you can't challenge it. If you challenge it, you go to jail, a.k.a. Sister Monica Schaefer and Brother Alfred Schaefer can testify to that fact. You even mention, question any part of the Holocaust, your tail's going to be slung into the gulag in Germany. Well, it's not that bad here in the United States. I know this is an aside. I think one thing that probably stops that here in the United States, we have these things called guns. To paraphrase or to quote Admiral Yamamoto, the Japanese Imperial Navy, World War II, he said invading the United States would be totally out of the question because he said there would be a rifle behind every blade of grass. Well, we still have those. Wow. Maybe not. Yes. So maybe that's what's keeping us being thrown into jail now. But another thing, what they could do, and I think Paul made it, it made me think about that. By since they are, they know they're losing their grip on the narrative. And Paul made a great point. Even a lot of the young Jews are crying out for justice with this just outright genocide going on in Palestine. And other places where anywhere the Jewish soldier's boot lands on the ground, there's going to be genocide. That could be, could very well be why they're putting this speech czar in. Shifting gears.
Yeah, you know,
go ahead, Paul.
Well, I think it's important, as we were talking about at the beginning of the program, to celebrate our culture. But it's also important to celebrate our heroes. And I don't just mean national heroes like George Washington and Andrew Jackson, or in my country, Sir John A. Macdonald, but others who are often forgotten. And my good friend, Dr. Ed Fields, down there in Marietta, Georgia, brought out a great little booklet about three forgotten nationalist heroes, and one of them was Admiral Cromellin. It's a great little book. You can get it for $10 from me. I've given a series of speeches, and I'm writing a booklet about a man I think was a Canadian hero. And he was, they didn't call him Minister of Immigration, but he's, that essentially was what he was. In 1939, and you may have seen the movie Voyage of the Damned, and that was a shipload of Jews, fairly rich Jews, that left Hamburg in the spring of 1939, and they thought they had sufficiently bribed the Cubans to give them visas. And when they approached Havana Harbor, the Cuban population found out, and they were rioting. As the government panicked and canceled the visas. So they were looking for a place to go. Even Roosevelt didn't want them because he was afraid there would be it's the middle of the Depression, huge unemployment. And even though his administration was riddled with communists and Jews, he was afraid of that. So they came to Canada. They were in Canadian waters. And our prime minister at the time was a man named William Lyon Mackenzie King, and he didn't like them much either. And he said, my own feeling is that nothing is to be gained by creating an internal problem in an effort to meet an international one. Okay, so these Jews want to get out of Germany. Well, that's their business. But we don't have to bring them here. And that's one of the things that I oppose, bringing refugees in large numbers to our countries. We've been doing that for 50 years. If there's a problem in Somalia, it's not to be solved by bringing Somalians here. Anyway, he also said, he's the prime minister at the time, that he wanted to keep his country free from unrest and from too great an intermixture of foreign strains of blood. He didn't want to change the makeup of the country. And William Lyon Mackenzie King was a liberal. Wow. Anyway, he asked his deputy minister of immigration, a man by the name of Frederick Blair. And it's about Blair that I'm writing this book, and I've given a number of talks. And Blair was asked to, come back with a recommendation. How many of these people on the St. The boat was named the St. Louis. How many people should we accept? So Blair went to French Canada, and he took a sounding. And the National Society in Quebec is called the Saint Jean Baptiste, or Saint John the Baptist Society. They, within a couple of weeks, they collected a petition with 123,000 signatures. We don't want any Jews. So he then asked the leading liberal in the province of Quebec, named Ernest Lapointe, well, what's the feeling in Quebec? Well, he said the Catholic Church doesn't really want them because they're not Catholic Church fears them. A lot of French Canadians don't like them because they run small businesses and exploit them. And besides, we've got 30% unemployment. So the answer from the province is Quebec is we don't want any. So he asked, he went to English leaders in English Canada. It was the same thing. And even the then premier of British Columbia, a man by the name of Petullo, was asked, well, what about the refugees? Well, he said, well, we could take a few, but we don't want any Jews. Blair gets called into Mackenzie King's office, and Mackenzie King says, well, Mr. Blair, how many Jews should we take from the St. Louis? And Blair is supposed to have said, Mr. Prime Minister, none is too many. And that none is too many. In other words, none. And that's exactly what Mackenzie King did. He sent the boat packing. And so, of course, ever since then, the Jews have denounced Blair as an anti-Semite and blah, blah, blah. Well, anti-Semite, in my opinion, simply means that the person is opposed to something that either a Jew or the state of Israel wants. It doesn't tell you anything more. It's a bad term. It's a bad name. It's like hate speech. What is hate speech? Well, you get the idea. It's something bad. All it is a comment that the accuser hates. Hate speech is something that the person pointing his finger doesn't like. It doesn't tell you anything about what was said. Well, it's the same thing with anti-Semites. So I've done my research, and I believe that Blair was a real patriot. He said, first of all, we've already let about 9,000 Jews in during the 1920s. He said they don't fit in. And in fact, at one point, he said to a Jewish lobbyist, he said, why don't you people learn to live with your neighbors wherever you are? Why are you hated? And the great historian, David Irving, and I heard him say this in Niagara Falls, New York. And you might say, well, why did you go to Niagara Falls? Why didn't you hear him in Toronto? Well, thanks to a Jewish cabinet minister back in the early, I think it was 1994, David Irving, the great historian, has been banned from Canada ever since. Anyway, Irving said, and I remember vividly, you know, if I looked at, woke up and looked in the mirror one morning and realized that my people had been kicked out of every country in Europe at least once in the last 1,000 years, I might ask myself, what are we doing wrong? Rather than, what's wrong with those people doing that to us? And Blair essentially asked the same question. He said, you know, why don't you people fit in the way Icelandic people and Norwegians and Swedes, they're readily accepted. People get along with them, no problem. So I see Blair as a great patriot who put Canada first, not the interests of minorities or the interests of a foreign people, but what was best for Canada. And I think we've got to celebrate people like that, people who did something for our people, not for other people, but for our people, in the spirit, I think, of the original pioneers who wanted to build a righteous country for our people. And that's what I'm working on now. And these talks have been quite successful. I've spoken in a couple of places in Ontario and 7 places in Western Canada, and I'll be heading up to the nation's capital in Ottawa shortly to give the same talk, and it's gone very well.
Paul, it'd be great. I don't know, maybe you have. Maybe did you record these talks? Were you able to?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You can get to just look up Paul Fromm on BitChute, and you can find it.
Great. Well, Paul, we need to do that, and I want to thank you again, brother, for coming on. We've run completely out of time. We've got to transition to the third hour and pick up Gene Andrews now. But thank you, Paul, for coming on. You did a marvelous job, brother, just like you have been for over 60 years. And I'd like to thank you so much. Stay in touch, and I'll stay in touch with you.
Yes, well, people,
we've got to transition.
I want to thank the Lord for the journey. in good health. And
thank you, sir. Thank you for your prayers. And people, with that, we got to transition to the third hour. We're going to pick up the one and only bitter ender, Gene Andrews. Be right back, folks. You've got plenty of time to get you some coffee if you want to.